Good morning. Glad you're able to join in hearing God's word today. Hope this new year, the start of the new year 2023, has been good to you. And not only that, but that as the year unfolds, has dates and events and circumstances take place in our lives, that we are able to be reminded of God's presence and his providence in our lives. That as we live out our lives, really, that God gets the glory, that God is ultimately the one who is praised. Well, recently, I may have mentioned this before, we drove back from our son's living in Chicago. We drove across the country, or basically from Chicago here. And while we were on the road, car that we were driving back, the windshield wiper blades were less than adequate for the conditions that we were in. And we had to stop, buy new windshield wiper blades, and install them onto the car. That helped quite a bit. Recently, or even more recently, I had to do the same for another car, another vehicle that we had. Essentially replacing the wiper blades on that car. I'm not sure if you've ever had to replace the wiper blades on your car. My guess is that for most of you, especially for those of you who drive, you know the importance of what a wiper blade is for. The reason why you have wiper blades. You may even know, and I hope you know, where they go or where they attach on your car. The front windshield, of course. And even, or maybe perhaps you might have one in on the back windshield. And you may even know, I'm sure you probably know, when you would use your wiper blades. Very recently, of course, you would need your wiper blades just driving here in the Bay Area with all the rain that we've been having. Sometimes there's just mist on the windshield that we need to get off. Sometimes it's so dense with moisture that, it may not be raining, but literally you have a hard time seeing through your windshield without the wiper blade. So again, most of us, if not all of us, know what a wiper blade is for, when to use our windshield wipers, even why it's important to have good wiper blades, or why you would want to use your wiper blades. But for us, for me in particular, I understood the why, when, what a wiper blade is, but I needed help installing the wiper blades, in terms of how to put them on. And, like so many of you, I turned to YouTube, or you could say I just Googled it and found a video on how to install wiper blades. So often in life, we come across situations and circumstances that we may know, or we may have an idea about what needs to be done, even when it needs to be done. And just as if I'm not even more importantly, why it needs to be done. But yet, for whatever reason, we may not understand or know how to do it. It's the how question that oftentimes that may stump us or may leave us a bit confused. We understand the what, we understand the where, we understand the when, and even the why, but it's the how. How to do it, how to proceed, that we're unsure of. And this morning in our message, as we continue our message series on the will of God, we're going to be focusing on a passage of scripture that explores more the how to do the will of God. Or maybe you could say how not to do the will of God. But it's more the question of how. Not why. Not what is the will of God, or why the will of God, or when the will of God, but the how. And maybe in our lives today, in your life today, God is speaking to you in regards to His will, and it's more about the how to do the will of God. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be looking at chapter 10, verses 32 and 39. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 and 39. Now, before we continue, though, let me open us in prayer. Father, again, as we start this new year, 2023, God, we entrust ourselves to You, Lord, that You know everything that will happen, that will proceed, that will present ourselves in our lives, Lord. You know exactly when, exactly where, exactly why. But God, I pray that You would give us wisdom and discernment in knowing how to proceed, Lord, how to react, how to even understand what is happening. And we may not have a full understanding. We probably won't. But yet, Lord, I pray that we would be faithful in trusting You and obeying You and following You and allowing You to be glorified in and through our lives. I pray specifically as we look into Your word in this passage in Hebrews, Lord, again, that You would remind us not only to do Your will, what is Your will, but how to live that out, how to proceed. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, the passage that we're looking at is Hebrews chapter 10, and the specific verse in regards to the will of God is found in verse 36. So let me read verse 36. It says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Again, verse 36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Again, just as we proceed into this message series, we want to focus, first of all, on the specific verse that contains the phrase, the will of God, or God's will. And in this case, it's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. The writer starts out by saying, "For you have need of endurance." So in relation to how to do the will of God, the writer's already telling us, giving us a heads up, you can say, that what's involved in how to do the will of God is our need for endurance. And just even hearing the word endurance, what comes to mind when you hear the word endurance? What kind of feelings or thoughts go through your mind or go through your heart as you hear the word endurance? Think about, do you need to have endurance or endure something or associate endurance or enduring something with something that is pleasant, something that is enjoyable, something that you like or want to happen? My guess is that the answer is not, usually not. No, something that's enjoyable, something that we like, something that we want, something that we find fun or entertaining or good, is usually something that we don't associate with the word endurance. When I think, and my guess is that when you think of the word endurance, it's something associated with something that is less than ideal, less than perfect, and in fact, difficult, hard, you don't want to happen, but because it has happened, you have to make the best of it. You have to endure it. When I think of the word endurance, what comes to mind is running a race, and not just a sprint, but a long distance race. In fact, if you look just in the chapter after this, actually it's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where the writer tells us that the life of faith, living our life of faith, is like a marathon, is like a race, a long race that requires us to run or to live with endurance. So it's, again, not the sprint. It's not over in a flash, 10 seconds, and we're already at the finish line. But it's this long-distance race that requires endurance. So the writer of Hebrews in our verse tells us, gives us a heads up, gives us a clue, gives us a understanding, a reminder, if you will, that we are, you are, I am in need of endurance, because what we're experiencing, what we're going through, or what we will go through, or what we have gone through, is less than ideal. It's not what we would want to have. In fact, it's probably something that we hope to avoid, or we never want it to happen, because it's difficult. It's traumatic. It involves suffering and hardship. And yet the writer says that you have need of endurance. He goes on and says, so that when you have done the will of God, you may have what is promised. He says that the reason why you need endurance, the purpose for, or the, you could say, why for the need of endurance, is so that when you have done God's will, or the will of God, when you have done what God desires, or God wants, you may receive what is promised. As you do the will of God, as I do the will of God, as we do the will of God, or what God desires, then we are able, or may receive, what God has promised us. Passage, the writer doesn't specifically say what that is, what he has promised. We could probably guess, maybe allude to eternal life, eternal presence, joy, being part of his family, whatever it might be. I'm sure that that's all included in what God has promised. But whatever it is that he has promised, it's inherent in our ability, or our willingness to do God's will. Or you could say it comes after we do God's will. Then we receive what he has promised. Now, so often in my life, and if I'm honest with myself and with God, this, what I would consider an order, I oftentimes reverse the order. As I've said, if you look at verse 36, the writer says that you need endurance, I need endurance, so that when I, you, do the will of God, we may receive what God has promised. What often happens in my own life is that I may find myself wanting to reverse, wanting to flip this process. And what I mean by that is that I may try to understand, I may try to look at this verse, recognizing, yeah, I need endurance, but I want to receive what God has promised me first, and then I will do God's will or what God desires. I flip it around. I reverse the order. I want the promise that God has made me, God has given to me, whether it's His presence, whether it's His provision, whether it's His peace. I want that right now. And I need to have that in order for me to do what God desires, His will. I reverse the process. Instead of how the process or the procedure is stated in the passage, doing the will of God or what God desires, so that I may receive what God has promised. And maybe for some of us, for you in particular, you might find yourself not just wrestling with God, but in terms of His will, but actually wanting to reverse His call or His command or instruction to you. Wanting God to first show you, give you the answer, the outcome, before you're willing to obey Him, to do His will. Saying yes, if that's His will. Saying no, if that's His will. Turning right, turning left, whatever it involves. You're telling God, give me the promise first. Give me the end result. Then I will do what you desire. But God all along is perhaps saying to you, I want you to do my will. I want you to say yes to this. I want you to say no to this. I want you to proceed. I want you to stop. Whatever it is, then you will receive my promise. Whatever that might be, His peace, His presence, His providence. What is it that perhaps God is calling you to do? And it requires, as we said, requires endurance, because it may not come overnight. It probably won't come overnight. It may not come within the week. It may be a long-term procedure, just like a race, just like a marathon. And we need endurance. You need endurance. I need endurance. So that when we do the will of God, we may receive what is promised. Well, we talked about the specific verse, verse 36. Now let's look at the greater context in which this verse is found. In the greater context, we'll just look at verses 32 to 39 of chapter 10. So let me read these verses, and if you have your Bibles, please read along with me. Starting in verse 32. But recall the former days, when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, this is the verse that we looked at earlier, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. For we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. The greater context in which the specific verse, verse 36, regarding the will of God is found, is in verses 32 to 39. Let's talk about these verses, or the greater context. The writer starts off in verse 32 and 33 by saying, that we need to remember or recall the former days or the times that in our past. And in particular, we need to recall or we need to remember the difficulties, the hardships, the struggles, the way we experience affliction, and particularly publicly, where other people knew the difficulties and the hardships that we were experiencing. We need to remember or recall those times. Now, if I'm honest with myself, difficulties, hardships, times of suffering, times of trial, times of pain are usually not things that I like to recall or remember. In fact, if anything, I would rather forget that they happen or they are happening. Recalling and remembering is like asking for punishment, or maybe it's like revisiting something that is painful, and I don't want to do that. I think for most of us, we don't enjoy pain or remembering times that we've suffered or had pain inflicted on us. It's not a natural, perhaps, thing that people do unless you enjoy pain. But I definitely don't. And so I don't want to recall times in which I've struggled, in which I've endured pain or suffering, humiliation, whatever it may be. I usually don't want to recall those things. But notice the reason, or one of the reasons why, the writer of Hebrews tells his recipients to recall these times, even though it may go against our natural inclination. In verses 34 to 35, the writer goes on and says, "For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward." In other words, the writer is saying that the reason I want you to recall your own times of suffering, your own times of hardship, your own times of duress or experience of pain is so that you can identify, you can empathize with, you can understand the hardship, the difficulties, the sufferings that other people are presently enduring. Sure, the exact circumstances, the exact situations that you faced, that you have faced, or maybe that you are presently facing, maybe or probably are different than what this other person is experiencing, going through. But yet, I would submit that the feelings, that the thoughts are oftentimes very similar, if not the same. Feelings of being hurt, feelings of fear, feelings of being abandoned, feelings of confusion. These are all feelings and thoughts that we as people all share, all have felt, all have thought. And therefore, even though the specific circumstances and situations may be different or probably different, the feelings and the thoughts are similar, if not the same. And therefore, remembering my own hardships helps me to then identify, have compassion, have empathy with another person who is experiencing not necessarily the same circumstances, not necessarily the same specifics, but yet experiencing the same thoughts and feelings, or similar feelings and thoughts that I myself have experienced. When we remember our own difficulties, it helps us to have empathy and compassion, the ability to come alongside someone who is suffering now and comfort them and remind them that it has, verse 34 says that we have a better possession for those of us in Christ, for those of us who are following God, believe in Jesus, a better possession and an abiding one, one that is permanent, one that is eternal, one that is everlasting. We have an opportunity to not only come alongside of somebody else in pain and hardship and comfort them and console with them, but to point them to that better possession, to remind them that we have an eternal hope in the Lord Jesus because of our faith in what Christ has done for us on the cross. Who is it that perhaps in your life circumstances that God is calling you to come alongside with? To have compassion with someone in prison. It may not be a literal prison. Maybe it's a figurative prison. Maybe it's a symbolic prison. Somebody who has had a loss of maybe property, physical property. It may not even be a physical property. It may be a loss of perhaps dignity or self-esteem, or, but yet you're able or you're willing to come alongside them and point them ultimately to the greatest possession that is available to them in Christ Jesus. Because you yourself have not thrown away your confidence, as the writer says in verse 35. You have been reminded of the hope that you have in Christ, and therefore you're able to come alongside someone else and provide them hope. Well, the writer goes on in verse 37 to 39, the verses after the particular verse that we looked at. Let me read those verses. He says, "For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls." The writer, in essence, notice the number of times in which the writer uses the word faith in this passage. In verse 38, he talks about how the righteous one shall live by faith. And at the end of verse 39, he talks about those who are considered the righteous ones, or those who trust God, who have faith, and they preserve their souls. In comparison, or you could say contrast, to the beginning of verse 39, he talks about those who shrink back or and are destroyed. Essentially, it's probably fair to say that do not have faith in God and his provision. Do not trust or do not believe in God, and are destroyed, or you could say lose their soul. The implication of verses 37 to 39 coming after the verse in verse 36 about doing the will of God, or how to do the will of God, implies that how we do the will of God has an effect, has an impact in our having faith, in our having trust, in our having belief in what God is doing in our lives. That we need endurance. We need to look at the big picture, the long view. In helping us to trust, in helping us to believe, in helping us to allow the will of God to proceed in our lives, to do the will of God, to have faith in the will of God. So that at the end of the day, that God is the one who gets the glory. How is God calling you, challenging you, perhaps convicting you, not just what to do or what is God's will for me, not just so much in where is God's will or where is he directing me, not even so much why is God calling me to do this? Why is God wanting me to go this place or not go this route? But more, how? How to apply the will of God? How to proceed in fulfilling the will of God? Well, we've looked at how it's important to have endurance, perseverance, not giving up. How it's important to remember or to recall the difficulty, our own difficulties, our own times of suffering, in order so that we are able to come alongside, to minister, to comfort people who are presently hurting or maybe will be hurting in the future, to point them ultimately to Christ. To remember that we are to live by faith, to have faith, trust, belief in God's promises, rather than what is fleeting or what is temporary, what seems like a good deal, but ultimately will disappoint us. How is God calling you to apply the will of God in your life? How are you willing to allow him to grow your faith in your life? Let me pray for us, then we'll conclude. Father, again, Lord, as we have started this new year, Lord, God, I pray that we would grow closer to you, closer to your heart, Lord. God, that our trust in you would not be predicated on receiving the answer first. On being shown exactly how things will turn out. But God, that we would place our faith, we would have faith in you and what you have promised us. The greatest promise, of course, is your son Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. We have already received that. And because of that, Lord, that we could trust, we could obey, we can have endurance. Knowing how to do your will. So that at the end, Lord, again, that you receive the honor and glory. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead and have a blessed day and hope to see you soon. God bless.